In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. This instruction from Paul is not so much about where Jesus is in some sort of cosmic navigational sense, as it is about who he is. On Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. The translation to see doesn't really capture the full meaning of the verb. This is a verb that denotes not only visual sight, but also understanding or insight, as in, oh, I see. In this case, an understanding of God's purposes. The two Marys didn't just go to see the tomb 3 days after Jesus was buried. They went to see the risen Christ. They knew Jesus would be raised from the dead on Easter morning, something the men following Jesus didn't quite seem to get. Jesus had been very clear when they were all together at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Matthew tells us, from that time on, Jesus began to show the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. That's pretty clear. And in Matthew, Jesus says something similar at least two more times. So the Marys knew. They went to see Jesus. And Jesus tells them, do not be afraid. And that is what Jesus is saying to us today. Do not be afraid. The reason we don't have to be afraid is that, as Paul says, we have been raised with Christ. Of course, there is resurrection in the future, resurrection to eternal life. And that is the comforting message of Easter. But the more difficult message is that we have already been raised with Christ. In the letter to the Colossians, Paul is describing resurrection as part of our present existence. In this passage, Paul is using baptismal imagery. When we're baptized, we go under the water, usually symbolized today by pouring water on a baby's head or an adult's head. And when we go under the water, we die. We die with Christ. And then we are raised out of the water, and we are born again to new life. We are resurrected, not only in the life to come, but in life today, right now. We are raised with Christ. Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We are hidden in Christ. We are with Christ. The reason this message of resurrection in the present can be so difficult is that it imposes obligations upon us as Christians. Paul did not see life and death in terms of duality, nor did he view things above and things on earth as mutually exclusive. He makes that clear over and over in his letters as he addresses very practical earthly matters related to the way the church should operate. It's not that earthly things are worthless. It is that they are perishable. And Jesus makes that point in many of his parables. In setting our minds on things above, we see ourselves in Christ. We see Christ among us in our dispersion this morning. And then when our minds are set on things that are on earth, we see our life among earthly things through the mind of Christ. The way we relate to one another becomes more like the way Christ relates to us. Now, this is not something that happens magically or instantly when we are baptized. It's a process. It takes time. And the more we seek the things that are above, where Christ is, the more we bring Christ into the world when our minds are set on things on earth. Further on in this chapter of the letter to the Colossians, Paul tells us how our behavior changes when we seek the things that are above. He says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and blessed, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive each other. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." When our minds are fixed on things above, it inevitably leads us back to earthly things. In a sense, it's all cyclical. One day, hopefully soon, we will be together again here in this building and we can gaze at the beautiful stained glass window at the rear of the church. The top of the window depicts the Transfiguration, a deeply spiritual experience witnessed by Peter, James, and John. But then they came back down from the mountain, and the bottom of the window depicts the disciples doing the work of healing and preaching, dealing with things happening on earth. So as we seek the things that are above, we don't escape from the things on earth. Instead, we are informed about how to see them and how to relate to them. We have a different sense of what is important, a different sense of ethics by which we live our lives. It is a continuous process, a process that is not due to our own efforts alone, but one that is made possible by Christ's already accomplished resurrection. We do not raise ourselves. We are raised by being united to Christ in baptism. These new expectations are articulated in the baptismal examination. In our resurrected lives, we renounce Satan, the evil powers of the world, and our own sinful desires. We turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as our Savior, putting our full trust in his grace and love. We will obey him as Lord. We make several promises in the baptismal covenant, and one is particularly worth thinking about as we live our resurrected lives mired in this terrifying and confusing pandemic. That is the promise that we will, with God's help, seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Today, Christ has been raised from the dead. That is the message of Easter. Alleluia, Christ is risen. And today, we are raised with Christ. That is the message of Easter also. Because we are raised with Christ, not only are new expectations placed upon us, new possibilities are available to us. New capabilities are given to us. Eventually, it changes everything about the way we live our lives. There's a story about a rabbi who, in the aftermath of a natural disaster, was asked to explain such a tragic act of God. His answer was that the disaster was not an act of God, but of nature. The act of God, he goes on to say, was people helping each other get through it. God is acting in the world today. Helping each other is one part of living a resurrected life, and we can see it happening all around us, all around the world, every minute of every day. Christ is in the midst of us on this Easter day and always. The good news of Easter is that death is behind us. And when we live our lives with confidence in that truth, we live them in a different way. We live resurrected lives. No longer is life defined by natural disasters, by powers that rule the world, by economic or social status, by a vicious, cruel, and brutal virus, or even by our own efforts to achieve greatness. In our resurrected lives, we are safe, protected, hidden with Christ in God, who is beyond the powers that kill. Do not be afraid, because today the enemy is defeated. So clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts.